morning, Christ Church Cathedral family, friends, and visitors. You may have thought you had gotten rid of me, but not so fast. I'm truly grateful to be here with you this morning in service and in worship on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. We find ourselves during this period of ordinary time living through what for us here in the United States of America in particular is an extraordinary time. Yet what better time might there be for us to make real the living out of our Christian faith and the meaning of Christ's resurrection in ordinary life. Our gospel text today is remarkably rich with meaning for our ordinary lives in this extraordinary time. It opens with Jesus sending his disciples away in a boat ahead of him so that he may have some time alone on a mountainside to pray. His beloved John, the one who baptized him, has been beheaded. Jesus had barely had time to even begin to come to terms with John's cruel, senseless death before crowds of people had heard that he was close by, and they followed him. And the Bible says that he did not send them away. Instead, he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick among them. Not only that, when he found out that the people were hungry and had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish among them, he broke the bread and prayed over it, and God fed them. 5,000 men, not including women and children. Scripture says there was even small pieces left over. And right after that, our text this morning opens with Jesus making the disciples get into a boat ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismisses the crowds, he goes up on a mountain by himself to pray. And it must have been other people there as well, because the scripture says that when evening came, he was there alone. Jesus had to deal with the fact that grief and exhaustion had become a part of his ordinary life. Surely, Thomas A. Dorsey's lyrics had already been written in heaven and must have been on Jesus' heart. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. Even I get tired, weak, worn, lone. I imagine that the other side where Jesus commanded his disciples to go wasn't too far in the distance. But when the darkness appeared and the night drew near, the winds had come against the disciples, and they found themselves and their boat battered and far from the land. The scriptures say that early in the morning, here comes Jesus, walking on the water to meet his disciples. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. And I think everyone here probably can identify with the disciples. Tossed and driven, the disciples had suffered an extremely long night. And now I'm seeing someone walking across the sea. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter is the one who speaks up and responds to Jesus. I like people who, when it's time to speak up, they speak up. You may have already heard me say this, but Peter is my favorite disciple. In our propensity to label people, we like to think of Peter as impetuous, impulsive, rash, hot-headed, and a little reckless. I've even heard a preacher refer to Peter as a coward. But man with a little roughneck in it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Not too much roughneck, because too much roughneck can get you into bad trouble. So Peter is the one who speaks up and says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Whom among us can say that there have not been times when God revealed God's self to us and we said, God, is it really you? Show me a sign. There are times when you see God moving in your life and you say, God, is this really you? That's a legitimate question to ask, because everything that comes before us is not of God. There are times when we are met with opportunities that are not of God. There are times in our decision making where our insecurities or perhaps even our ego can call us in a certain direction, and we mistaken it for God's voice, God's leading. So I find Peter's question to be reasonable. Notice that Jesus doesn't respond by saying, Peter, don't try me. Don't tempt me. No, Jesus responds by saying, come. What a beautiful word from the mouth of our Lord. Come. And here's where we find out that Peter really trusts Jesus. Because he didn't ask Jesus, how do I walk on the water? How is this thing going to work? No, Jesus says, come. And the Bible says, Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water. And right there, this tells us something about Peter's relationship with Jesus. Peter trusted Jesus. But Peter also knew something that you and I know. As mere mortals, we were not made to walk on water. Yet Psalm 8 and 5 reminds us that God was so mindful of us that the great Creator made us just a little lower than the angels. Peter knew that in his own power, he could not walk on water. So he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And the Bible indicates that at that point, Peter did not hesitate. He stepped out of the boat. And if there would have been a time to doubt, that right there would have been the time before he stepped foot out of the boat onto the angry sea. No, I think we've made a bit too much out of this notion of Peter's doubt. Because when Jesus gave him the word, the Bible says Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water toward Jesus. But the scripture says that when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. Like many of you, I've heard this text preached in such a way as to indicate that Peter began to sink only because he took his eyes off Jesus. And while I understand that interpretation, I question it a little bit. Yes, when we don't maintain our prayer life and practice obedience to God, we find ourselves often sinking under the weight of the pressures of ordinary life. But here's where I think we err in taking Peter's moment of fear as a sign of his lack of faith. For Peter had already made up his mind to come to Jesus, to follow him, and had stepped out of the boat onto dangerous waters. Once we make up our minds to follow Jesus, we will encounter dangerous waters, and the wind remember when I first met Jesus. And then I think about each time when God has called me subsequently, and my response has been, yes, Lord, send me. The excitement one feels, the anticipation, the joy that it brings. Yet, in some of these situations, I've also encountered fear. Can I do it, Lord? Am I going to be able to make it across? I'm only human. I've got shortcomings. I know sometimes some of us, we think we're too young. I'm too old. I got all of these pains and aches. I got these human frailties. All of these things make us notice the wind. So I can understand why when Peter noticed the wind, he became afraid. And here's where I think, again, that we err in taking Peter's moment of fear as a sign of his lack of faith. But once we make up our minds to follow Jesus, the winds do not cease to blow, and we will not cease to notice them. What matters is how we respond to the wind. Peter could have panicked, turned around, started back to the boat on his own, but instead, Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Right then, I think Peter realized that Jesus, not the boat, was his port of safety, his safety zone. You know, sometimes we mistake our worldly possessions and even our relationships loved ones as safety zones. But a worldly safety zone, it ain't nothing but a boat. Our jobs, our relationships with our partners, the roof over our heads, our education, our health, our money, it ain't nothing but a boat. All of these things are temporal. They come and they go. God is our place of true safety. And I believe that this is the message that Jesus sought to get across to Peter and to the other disciples. And that's a word right there for you and for me. When God calls us, even if it means stepping out of our perceived comfort zone, we must trust the Lord and step out on faith. And when we notice strong winds that come in the form of circumstance, disappointment, trials and tribulations, and we become afraid and start to sink, sinking under the weight of our to-do list, sinking under the weight of hardships, sinking into depression, into despair, into loneliness. Know that God has not left us. Simply to know what to do in those moments. Don't turn around. Don't look back. Don't try to climb back into the boat. We have only to follow Peter's example and earnestly cry out, Lord, save me. Just say, hear my cry. Hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Precious Lord, my hand. And when God reveals God's self to us, we can't allow ourselves to become deterred by naysayers, like Joseph's brothers who said to one another, here comes that dreamer. Joseph's own brothers conspired to kill him. They stripped him of his robe and threw him in an empty pit with no water, hoping that wild animals would get him. Then some slave traders rescued him, not for his own sake, but so that they could sell him into slavery. I wonder how many of July 17th, two of Christ's most steadfast disciples reached their final destination on that great freedom ride to glory. Only the Lord knows how many wins Reverend C.T. Vivian and Congressman John Lewis faced throughout their early journeys toward freedom. How many times did they hear the cynics say, "Here comes those dreamers"? How many times did their souls cry out through the storm, through the night, "Lord, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." But you and I are still on this faithful journey, and the winds are still blowing in our lives. Here it is, August.